say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for signing. If you think you might have something to say or a question to ask, you don't have to speak. But if your name isn't on the list, you won't be able to speak. I want to start with an addition. Maybe I should start with the roll call.
Lang.
Yes, I'm here.
Herschel.
Here.
Fox.
Here.
The adoption of the agenda. It's right there. We have a new item under old business, which is the roundabout closures that are upcoming. So I make a motion to add under old business roundabout closure.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Lux.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. That takes us to the minutes. I am happy to suspend the reading of the minutes for March 16th and accept them as presented by the fiscal officer.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Lux.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. So that takes us right to our old business. We have two roundabout closings happening. Harold, do you want to share off the top of your head what you might remember about those closings?
The first one is the corner right here, Albin and Monclova. It will close on April 15th for 45 days.
April 13th or 15th?
15th.
Okay. So.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
I'm going from memory.
Yeah. Got put on the agenda.
So when that intersection opens, Waterville, Monclova, and Monclova will close for 40 days. While they do that roundabout. Then when that one opens, and I don't remember the dates exactly.
August 1st.
August 1st, okay. Albin and Mommy Western and Albin and Strayer will both close for, I believe, 60 days. And they'll be both closed at the same time.
Okay, thank you for the update. Why we added it to the agenda is because our fire department sits here. So, Chief, we would love an update on your plan to manage fire calls while these two intersections are closed. Probably the same holds true when those two intersections are closed.
Each of them presents a little bit of a hazard to access. We did have a long time ago, had a preliminary meeting out in the parking lot with the engineer's office of what we were going to do here potentially. And that was while they were, before they had put the sewer in. And they said that there was a possibility of putting in like an access road for us. But their concern now that it came around to the project happening was that if we're using the access road, other people will too. So they don't want to do the access road. So that leaves us with basically, you know, using the detouring that we can to get to those areas. We don't have another building where we can house personnel and rigs, so the only thing that we could do would be to post a rig somewhere. But when we post a rig on that side of the closure and then the call happens over here, we still have to get that rig there. So, you know, we're going to be monitoring as best we can, looking at one of the options is to start a quicker response vehicle, so like our pickup truck, our utility, with the EMS equipment in it on the EMS calls, and then the ambulance can come, you know, as it gets there. The fire calls, we have our mutual aid, auto aid partners that will be responding with us, so, you know, if Maumee's coming in or Springfield's coming in to one of those areas, they may be there first before us, but that's the process that we have with AutoAid. You know, that we're getting the units there and we're getting the appropriate units there. So that's our current plan. We don't have many ways of options of detouring. around that. Certainly for the smaller vehicles to go through some of the neighborhoods for some of the closures as opposed to going the detour routes that will be posted for the public to use. That does. But the fire engine and the aerial, you know, will still make it through the neighborhoods and that, but it's also a much slower route for them to go instead of the posted detours because of all the stopping and turning that they'll have to do. So we're going to closely be watching our response times, and if we have any issues that we notice, we'll work to tweak the plan. But right now, I mean, that's posting a vehicle, you know, without a facility for them to do, and, you know, put somebody sitting in a truck for 8, 12 hours, whatever we would pick, and that doesn't really seem like a feasible plan of not having a building to house them in or someplace where that they can use facilities and that. I know we had some offers from some, like the Waterside Clubhouse, about staging a vehicle over there. But again, you know, it's difficult to do without having the means for the personnel to operate out of. And then, like I said, the biggest problem is if we have a resource staged over there and then the call's over here on this side, now they're going twice as far instead of just coming from this central point to the detour.
Comments? Be able to use Montclair Road when there is no workers present, or will they still know?
Generally, the road is going to be open for the residents that live in that area to get through to the point of the road closure. But as they did when they did Salisbury, you know, on the weekends and the nights, people went through the Salisbury and Holloway construction area. Even when the roads were not paved or anything, but it doesn't really make a good route for us to use. If we had to, we could do it in the off times, but it also would be, you know, getting past the barricades, stopping to move barricades, because once you take the barricades down, then the traffic is going to.
Everybody else can see that too.
So the plan is always weather dependent too. I mean, there are 40 days for the mini roundabout, 45 for this roundabout here. You know, it's also going to be weather dependent upon, they could get done early or they could go a little bit longer with the rain. But we'll be, you know, just monitoring and looking at what we can do.
Kathleen, can you keep this on the agenda under old business, roundabout closure, fire department? If a majority of our calls are in Waterside and we have the ability to have an ambulance there or at the community center, we need to evaluate that. So, yep, sit here, monitor what's going on, and when you find out, wait, we should be over there, let's make an adjustment.
Yeah, we'll look at it, but like I said, to put the vehicle over there and then end up having the call over here, then we're either running multiple vehicles to the scene or...
I hear you.
And then
we should have data to back up where the majority of our calls are coming.
Right.
So
we have the data.
If it warrants sitting over there, I mean, granted,
we have to have more than just a place to park a vehicle. The employees have to have a facility to use. They would have to have a place to make their meals. They, you know, all of that is something that they would need, not just a place to park a vehicle and sit in the vehicle all day long. So, I mean. You know, we're looking at what the options are.
Well,
and
we'll get it clarified on our end. I know the community center has all those facilities, right? They have a sink and a microwave. And
They have some place, correct, right.
Okay. It'll stay on the agenda. That takes us to new business. Harold, were they coming today and I missed it?
They're all right there in the row behind.
Sorry. Sorry, had this other whole discussion. Come up, introduce yourselves.
Got four folks here.
It looks like we belonged.
Yeah.
I'm Beth Deakins. I'm with the YMCA. I co-chair the Lucas County Active Transportation Coalition with.
And I'm Amy Abadili. I work with the Toledo Lucas County Health Department, and I also co-lead with Beth.
Sean Salmon, Transportation Planning Program Manager with Lake Erie West Regional Council.
Oh,
Dr. Nagasetti. I'm the Data Resources Program Manager with the Lake Erie West Region Council.
So today we just kind of wanted to give you an update on the Lucas County Active Transportation Plan that was adopted back in 2023. Harold had brought it to our attention that you guys are interested in having an active transportation or maybe even just having a resolution for this one so that you can become a part of this one and then be included in all of our planning, and then that way you'd be more up to being able to apply for different grants and stuff for active transportation. So we just wanted to give you a little overview. Next slide. You can actually go back.
Sorry.
Okay, right there. Yeah. So what is active transportation? I'm sure a lot of you already know, but it's basically human power travel used for everyday transportation. So it's like, it's walking, cycling, wheelchair, scooter, skating, and skateboarding. And what we found is that communities with active transportation infrastructure, so bike trails, walking paths, multi-use paths, are healthy and more economically vibrant and more sustainable. And it also matters because when you have active transportation in your community, you have better public health, both physically and mentally, for individuals, economic growth. It brings people who don't necessarily drive but can bike, and that to your community, quality of life, lower emissions because you're not using cars, and safer streets. Next slide. When we were planning the active transportation, we came up with our coalition, we came up with four goals for the active transportation plan: health and safety, livability, equity, and sustainability. As you can see there, I'm not going to read through it, but those are what our goals were for the county plan. Next slide. And this kind of shows you the timeline. It didn't happen overnight. It took us quite a long time. We actually started it back in 2017 where we kind of launched it. We were part of the Ohio Action Institute where a group of us went down to Columbus and learned about active transportation and what we needed to do here in Lucas County to bring it here. So we had steering committee, we had workshops. In 19 and 20, we had a vision workshop where we brought different jurisdictions together and different people that were interested in active transportation and kind of see where it could go from there. And then finally in 2021, 22, we actually contracted with Tool Design, which is a planning group based out of Columbus that actually helped us with the plan because both Beth and I are not engineers and not planners, so we kind of needed that help. So we did a lot of public engagement, we drafted a plan, and then we reached out to jurisdictions. And we did reach out to every jurisdiction. Now, whether or not a jurisdiction or a township responded to us, that was a different story, but we did do our due diligence when it came to that. And then finally, in 2023, we were able to adopt it. We presented to the counties that were interested. We had six jurisdictions at that time adopt, and then we started to implement it. In 2024, we had another jurisdiction that would join us, and then we were able to kind of see where we had started and what we had accomplished in 2024. And in that year, from the different jurisdictions, 6 miles of bike lanes were added, 5 miles of multi-use path, and that was over all of Lucas County. And then in 2025, we started implementing more projects, recruiting other jurisdictions, and then this is where you guys come in. If you're interested in doing it, this would be a great time for you to become a part of the plan as well. Like I said, we did a lot of community engagement. We sent out surveys. We had A-signs at different park openings, trail openings, where you could take the survey. And on that, you also got to go to a map and add comments. So this is just, we had ended up with 653 survey responses, 298 map comments, and 7 jurisdictions adopted. And those were just some of the top things that we heard when we were doing the engagement when it came to walking and improving biking. And as you can see, it's the most common ones: better sidewalks, add sidewalks, pedestrian signal crossings, connected bike routes, because there's a lot of bike routes that kind of end and they don't go to anywhere. Designated bike lanes so that people feel more safe when they're actually on their bikes, and protected bike lanes. Next. And then this is just a picture of what the interactive map looked like. If you were one that went on it, you could actually put put a location and then kind of put where your issue was, and you can see we did have some people from this area fill that out as well. So we had a pretty good representation of all of Lucas County. Next. And then from that, we were able to, with the help of tool design, come up with gross networks that showed already planned side paths, ones that proposed, and that from different counties. So you can see how some are already established, how some that we would like to establish, so that we can make that connection through all of Lucas County. Next.
Excuse me, just can we go back to that slide? Yeah, Kathy.
Sure.
So just a question. So just on the lower left side, so the Wabash Cannonball up on this kind of, is there, so I'm presuming that's a north-south connector somewhere in the Keener Road area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to get more into your projects as we go on.
Okay.
But this was back in, the last time it was updated was in 2024. So, and then, so we always try to update it every year when we meet with the jurisdictions to find out what other things they have added and what they have planned to be added. Next slide. Along with infrastructure projects, we also, with this plan, come up with program recommendations. So, I mean, it's great to do infrastructure where you're talking about bike lanes and protected lanes and multi-use things, but then there's also a need for programming so that people know how to safely ride their bike or walk so that we can keep it safe. So we came up with a variety of programs and policies with walking and cycling. Some of the things that we've done in the past, we have safe routes to school, both in Toledo, Washington Local. City of Oregon has a safe routes to school, so does Sylvania. Maumee just adopted one too. So we try to work with all of those jurisdictions too when it comes to any kind of safety. So those are also in the plan. And that's correct.
Well, that's what we've done, or the history. Now I get to talk about what was accomplished last year. And moving forward, hopefully, with the township. So the reason that we care, in addition to the things that Amy mentioned, is that in Lucas County, we experienced 238 bike and ped crashes in 2025, right? People are getting hurt on foot, typically with some sort of motor vehicle. So anything we can do to improve where those conflict points are happening, remove the conflict if possible, but also provide education for both the motorist and pedestrians and cyclists. In 2025, we had a total of nine shared use paths and side paths completed, 12 mid-block crossing projects completed. Those are probably less important out here in the township. Our partners distributed 584 bike helmets to kids. We hosted 54 walk and bike to school day events and 56 safety education events. Next slide. Sorry, I'm not used to having somebody to push the buttons for me. So the adoption. Who's done it? So the Board of Lucas County Commissioners has adopted the plan formally. City of Toledo, City of Maumee, City of Sylvania, Sylvania Township, the City of Oregon, and Village of Holland. We are working with Ottawa Hills, Springfield Township, White House, and Waterville. I'm sorry, I'm blocking your view. adoption, what does it mean? It's not binding. It doesn't tie you down to any projects. It is an opportunity to work more closely with other jurisdictions in the county to make sure that your bike lanes lead to their bike lanes, or multi-use paths lead to their multi-use paths, so that as citizens of the county, we can get where we need to go. There's a lot of bike lanes and sidewalks to nowhere in lots of places in Lucas County. So, the other thing it does, active transportation plan opens opportunities for grants. There's a lot of grant dollars that require active transportation elements, so having a plan already in place makes that a whole lot easier. It would put your projects on our map, which we would love, and then access to programs and support, things like safe routes to school, safety events, those sorts of things that our partners are actively doing. Next slide. The thing that jurisdictions typically count about or care about most is the dollars, right? That's what it comes down to when it comes to running local government. So accessing state and federal grants, there's the TAP program. If you have questions specifically, my friends from Lake Erie West would love to answer those questions. Federal Raise and Safe Streets grants, Safe Routes to School funding, if you adopt a Safe Routes to School plan, and then regional planning priority projects. which is also my friends at Lake Erie West. Community benefits, we talked about a lot already, so I won't spend too much time here. They all come down to safety. So when we think about the benefits of active transportation, safety is number one, and then joining that momentum of communities adopting the plan. Next slide. So the proposed projects, my friends at Lake Erie West would also love to talk about these if you have specific questions, because they are the planners, they are the map builders. So the proposed projects connect directly to projects that were in that first map that you saw. So they include things like marked shoulders, sidewalks, crossings and connections, multi-use paths. I'm going to get out of the way because I'm not going to read what each of these are. Crossings and connections throughout the township. And then more connection to the existing multi-use paths in the township. Other initiatives include things like wayfinding. So if you're in one of those subdivisions that might be hard to get out of if you're in a rig, hopefully for residents having something to point them towards infrastructure that exists for their use on their feet. So the next slide is a map of those proposed projects. So, and we'll make sure that you guys have copies of these slides if you don't already have them, so you can zoom in on that. The next steps, hopefully adopting the plan. Submitting your priority projects. You guys know your township, right? You live here, you are the trustees, you listen to residents all the time. Submitting your projects. Enrolling in Safe Routes to School, we'd love to help you with that process. The YMCA oversees the Safe Routes to School program at Toledo Public Schools and Washington Local Schools. We've been doing it for 14 years now. So lots of experience in Safe Routes to School and getting funding every year to fund projects. So happy to help there. And then staying engaged. Staying engaged is probably the most important part. Without that, we lose the connectivity. Questions.
Thank you for that wonderful presentation. We greatly appreciate
just,
it.
Just if you could go back, Kathleen, to the proposed projects for Myclova.
Yeah.
A couple slides back. So. Oh.
This one?
Yeah.
I think you went one too far, Kathleen.
Oh, you want the map?
The map.
Yeah.
There you go.
You should have to get it bigger.
Yeah.
You want to point to some road?
So, yeah. So this red square here is Myclova Elementary.
Okay.
That's where we're at,
This circle represents a 2-mile buffer around the elementary, which is the buffer we use for Safe Routes to School.
Okay, so there's more grant funding or something around that.
Yep. And then there are proposed projects on, it looks like, Monclova Road, a multi-use path, and marked shoulder on, couldn't tell you what that road is.
Alvin.
I live in Toledo.
That's all right.
Amy looks out here, though. it looks like crossings and connections here. Maybe also Alvin. I don't know if Alvin continues that way. Whatever. See, you guys, you didn't need me here. You guys got this. And then the green line is the Anthony Wayne District boundary that you see around the edge.
One of the things that we would stress, like adopting, start to do the school travel plan, which is necessary to adopt a Safe Routes to School program, is we have a unique situation here in Monclova Township where we have an elementary school, but all the high school kids go to a centralized spot. Mm-hmm. So the approach should be slightly different in that we should get the whole district to put together and collaborate on a single Safe Routes to School program, and that benefits
everybody
there. Mm-hmm. And that opens up another completely different pot of money, which...
It looked like you were close because you had White House, Waterville...
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'd have to get all of those
right
on board.
It looks like you're close.
Yeah.
We'll keep pushing.
let us know who we need to call for you, because we will.
No, I just had one.
Since
we are not a home rule township, we are limited in what we can do as far as sidewalk enforcement,
mm-hmm.
as far as improvements. Somebody could have a 3-inch bump in their sidewalk, and we're limited to what we can do that. Through the adoption of this, does this help us, encourage or nudge those property owners to repair those sidewalks or get them?
Yeah. So one thing that we've been able to do in Toledo is, and they do have a little more enforcement power, but one thing we've been able to do is, because of the active transportation plan, we've been able to apply for state funding, so grant funding, so it didn't cost property owners anything to fix those sidewalks that were a problem that we knew weren't going to get fixed. So it didn't cost the city anything, didn't cost the taxpayer anything. It came from the state. So, I mean, it cost the taxpayer something, right? Somebody paid taxes and then got the money. But it didn't come out of, nobody had to pay for that individual square of sidewalk to be replaced. So, and it was truly, we only got approached by ODOT because we had the active transportation plan in place.
Yeah, I'm really excited personally to be the number eight, right, to join up. I'm sorry we didn't do this earlier. I was approached by residents. We don't need sidewalks everywhere, right?
No.
Monclova residents don't want sidewalks everywhere, but we do want access to our amazing bike trails.
Yeah.
So Salisbury Road, there's just some desert areas where I can't get to Briarfield safely to get on that bike trail that takes us to the bike trail. And Monclova Road would be another one. And access to the grant funding is great, but what about, what do you do for the, like, is it just we get their land, or are those, you know, 5-acre lots, they're not going to be real happy about a path down the middle of their, it's not the middle, but
yeah.
Is that easily done, or is that an issue?
It depends. It certainly depends on the situation. We've had situations where it's really fairly simple. Easements.
Right. They all have
yeah.
easements.
Yeah. And so most of what we've done is working within the easements,
okay.
So that there's not any additional taking of land, so to speak.
Okay.
The other piece is working really closely. So the county engineer does a lot of your projects out here,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so they've been really helpful in some of those more township spaces, like Sylvania Township, for example, the same situation you're in, where the county engineer is responsible for their roads. They've been really helpful in brokering those conversations, right?
Okay.
Really, they're really in tune. I don't know about normally. This roundabout planning sounds terrible. But normally,
at least
they're
going to be great. The roundabouts are going to be great. They're going to be great when they get them done.
Once they get done, they're going to be fantastic. The planning of them sounds a little hairy. But, they've been really great at helping us.
So it will come. We just need to do the four things you said,
yep.
and it
yep.
will all come into place.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Somehow,
and we're happy to help.
We want to go full speed ahead.
Yeah.
And the county engineers are on our committee, so they know,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I mean, they're part of the plan, so they know, and they update some
Mike
stuff.
Mike Panisky didn't send me here right away.
Yeah, and they, like, apply for funding through you guys, and so.
And
we'll continue to support you with future funding opportunities and provide any robust planning resources that we can provide, like data collection, data analysis, mapping, GIS.
Grant applications.
Yeah. And then we had talked to with Harold too about like TARDA's out this way too. So
mm-hmm.
actually doing like a survey for the residents so that they might know. So they know that TARDA's out here and see like whether or not they're using it or what would be beneficial for them too.
Right. TARDA is on Briarfield and Technology. It
yeah.
turns either on Monclova Road or 28.
Yeah.
So it's just on the edge of Monclova Township.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about how we could maybe put a stop somewhere on that, an official stop somewhere on that route.
Yeah. So Sean and I are working on an online survey that we're preparing for you. We'll send it over your way if you're happy with the questions. We'll have an interactive map fully ready to go that you can send out to residents to see where they want the stops, and we'll get that data to...
The TARDA stops?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Amy, what is are you on this committee, I mean, as a health department representative? Obviously the healthy objectives of being active, you know, transportation,
yeah.
but I mean, from as far as
so
feeling like mosquito control with, you know, or things like that, I mean, that's...
So I work at the health department. I work for an ODH grant called Creating Healthy Communities, and our focus is on increasing opportunities for physical activity and access to healthy eating, and I'm also a dietitian, and I actually live in Redwood. Across from Annette.
Okay.
And but anyway, so this was part of my initiatives through my grant, and so that's how we got access to tool design and all that information down there. So.
We'll be prepared for two roundabouts on 28. And we've asked Tarta to come and share actual data with us, how many people are on the bus right now. So before we send out any survey, I'd love to get that information.
Yeah, they sent it to us.
Okay.
I'll forward that over to you.
Great. Are there any other questions?
No, I think this is something we've been
trying to get this done. I can't believe it took us this long. So,
I had sent over what the resolution looked like from the village of.
Yep, we have it all ready to go. We're going to make the motion right now. We thank you for being here. Is there anything else you need from us? We need all those four things done. Enroll us. We're going to say yes.
All right.
We're full speed ahead.
Yeah. Right. If there's anyone here that wants to, from the council, wants to be part of the Active Transportation Advisory Group, I can send more information your way. It's a good way to see how we're looking at stuff regionally.
It's a good way to stay in your ear, too. So I'm sure one of us will want to sit on that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard me, the microphone's probably heard me. I said, or the community. So we love to have community representation on those committees as well. So that's okay. That's an open invitation.
And if there's anybody that you think that we should contact for Waterville or White House, too, that you might have contact
the city of or the township of Waterville? And yeah.
Probably both. Yeah. For state funds for school purposes.
Yeah.
Any entity you can think of that doesn't have an act.
We absolutely need the Anthony Wayne community on board, so sure.
Yeah, and I would
Harold, will you forward their email addresses?
Swanton Township as well with the new trustees that, since the number of the Wabash going out to Swanton Township.
Oh,
yeah.
ABC would love it.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing another round of outreach with
Andy. Roadshow.
Yes, taking it on the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I'll make a move to approve resolution 04062026-01, adopting and supporting the Lucas County Active Transportation Plan for Monclova Township to be a member of.
Second.
Seconded by Laux on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Laux?
Yes.
And that takes us to our next piece of new business, which is long line striping joint cooperation agreement.
Yes, every year we pass along to the county engineer a list of roads that need to have the stripes redone, and the county usually combines our list with other jurisdictions so it can all be done as one project. They're asking us to sign a joint cooperation agreement promising that we'll pay our share when the time comes.
I move to approve resolution 04062026-02, adopting the provisions of a joint cooperation agreement between Lucas County, the City of Waterville, Monclova Township, Springfield Township, and Sylvania Township for the 2026 Long Line Striping Program.
Second.
Seconded by Laux on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Laux?
Yes.
Our third piece of new business was brought to us by Chuck Herschel. He would very much like us to appreciate the 100th anniversary of DGL Consulting. So the Monclova Township Board of Trustees recognizes DGL Consulting Engineers for 100 years of excellence in civil engineering, planning, and surveying services across Ohio and beyond. With a local presence on Briarfield Boulevard, DGL has been a valued member of the township's commercial community, contributing to initiatives such as the JEDZ and projects like the Stitt Road and Waterville-Monclova Road roundabout. The township appreciates DGL's quality work and lasting impact on the growth and the safety of the community. Completed.
And I'll make that motion for their recognition.
Second.
Seconded by Laux on the motion. Laux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. And they're, on a side note, they're civil engineers, and they're looking for surveyors and engineers. So if you know of any Kids coming out of college, want to stay local, great firm. They've done projects. They won a national award for Anderson's parking lot, of all things. It's it flows and there's very little runoff and everything, but they do everything to road to bridges. They also have a satellite office in Dublin. So, Ed, if you want to get back into the sector.
That takes us to updates from the fiscal officer, bill payment, and correspondence.
Yeah, presented bills for payment if someone wants to pay those.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills as submitted by our fiscal officer totaling $500,578.00.
Second.
For the attached list, yeah.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
I did distribute the budget schedule for 2027. We will start that.
It's a million pages.
I gave it all to you.
The right way, too.
Yeah. So the budget hearing this year will be on 6/15/26. Usually I'm gone on that one, but there's like an extra week in there. It's the next week that I'd be gone. Nothing you have to do at this time.
We did have correspondence related to data centers. That takes us to Harold.
We've taken care of the action items that I had on my memo this evening. The rest is just information. All of the liquor permits in the township are up for renewal, and I've provided a list of all of those liquor permits for you. I checked with Lieutenant Leach, and not aware of any issues with any of those businesses, so there's nothing we really need to do. We would have to file a formal objection if we didn't.
Why are liquor permits all at the same time? Usually it's one business at it.
They
change the way. They
started this a couple of years ago. Okay. This, I think, is the third year that they're just doing them all at once instead of just quicker
Great.
And cleaner that
yeah.
way.
The Burnwick drainage is also there, and it
yes.
seemed to me like you're going to have Mike Panuski come out and talk to us and talk about the 25.
I have
the 25 plats.
I have asked him. Yeah, there are subdivisions I never heard of before. there are platted subdivisions that, five or six houses in a row somewhere that were platted many, many, many years ago. And
don't have
they're not
drainage
under any kind of assessment, correct.
And the rest of the township is?
Yes.
I just
so
think
I have,
we should talk about it further because there could be a problem.
Yes, I have formally asked Mike Panuski. Matt McFadden said Mike would be the guy to come out and talk to us, and I have officially requested that.
Okay.
Just one other thing with
yep.
street lighting on Harold's memo. Did either of you receive the email from Victor Coleman?
Probably. What are you referring to?
I received an email saying that the Edison was going to be in the process of replacing the high-pressure sodium with LEDs, and then it had a little survey of three preference of heads that they were replacing them with.
Maybe they didn't get it.
So the cone style. But I responded, that's why I was just asking. But so it sounds like there is some type of plan to be replacing.
Maybe you could forward that to Harold
so we
have it in the
that,
file.
We did that a year ago. Asked Edison to.
But it sounds like throughout their whole the whole Edison system that they're going to be replacing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I will forward that to both of you.
To Harold especially. Anything else for Harold? I went too quickly, so I have to go back to Gavin now.
We did have a couple pieces of correspondence. We had some trees down and all that, and we had the resident, David Dustin, complimented how well our road crew did. Great service, best township in Northwest Ohio, and we thank them for clearing out the branches that fell. Then from our JEDD at the airport, just the quarterly report came out. The total taxes withheld were $130,000. And after all the economic district revenue distribution and all that, my Clovis portion is $18,887,000 for the quarter.
Thank you. Sorry, I went too fast. Takes us to public comment. It looks like Donna is first. I have to put glasses on to actually be able to see it, Donna.
Hi, my name is Donna Zibel. I live at 4151 Catawba, Maumee, Ohio, in the Motorside community, and this is my story. Many others have beautiful stories about my Clover Township also. I've been here for 1 year and 6 months. We loved our old home for 35 years. It was perfect to grow a family. The family and friends that we had at the time either moved on, graduated, or whatever else happened, just life. Our home became lonely. We were in the country. One night I was messing around on my phone, and the next day a realtor called me and said to me, "What exactly are you looking for?" I said, "I'm not really looking. We lived in Lake Township at the time, and I'm not really looking. I was just bored. I'm lonely." And she said,
"I've got the place for you.
This is the place for you. You need to go to Waterside." She brought us out to Waterside. Within 1 month, we had sold our house, and we had no clue that we even wanted to sell our house. We had talked about it on and off, but, you know, it was, just wasn't up for discussion then. Then 1 month, we sold our house. We were in Waterside. That brought us into 2025. Waterside changed my life, and I'm only telling my story, not my husband's story. I brought sunshine to cloudy days because of the funness of Waterside. Sometimes I look forward to the rainy days just to sit back and rest because we're going all the time. Waterside people are out enjoying life, riding bikes, dancing, playing pickleball, bocce ball, walking the beautiful trails that we had. I moved there because I wanted to walk my pups. I have two little cavies. I had a German Shepherd out in the country. That was okay. When I got my cabbies, it wasn't okay out in the country. Perfect place is Waterside.
That little timer, I didn't tell you. You're brand new. You haven't spoken before. You're allowed to speak between two minutes, and that was your two-minute timer.
Okay.
Do you want to summarize it for us?
Well, yes, I will. Living in Waterside is a pinch me moment. I don't want our adult playground to change with the data centers. This is all about the data centers.
Sure.
I found happiness that I never thought that I'd find at the end of my life. And I just want to throw that out to you. When you have maybe an opportunity someday, you need to think about your parents, because those people at Waterside are living our life that we thought we'd never be able to live.
Thank you for speaking to us.
Yes.
And I'm sorry I didn't mention 2 minutes when you stood up.
That's okay, I got a little extra time.
Marilyn Campbell.
I'm Marilyn Campbell, 7215 Longwater Drive in Waterside also. And I just wanted to speak to the fact that we did have a moratorium, and I'm thankful for that. It's been in effect for a while now. And our expectation was that ongoing communication would be given about an investigation of pros versus cons of a data center in Monclova Township. A suggestion was also made that a data center update be included on every agenda. And we all want to know where we are with all of that study that was going to be done. Also, the last time I spoke, I asked all of you for your position, either for or against data centers in Monclova Township. Elected officials in other municipalities have no problem with taking a position. If you were running for re-election, this is a question your voters would expect to know the answer to. So I'm giving you another opportunity to do so.
Great, thank you. Lynn Cotts.
Hi. Lynn Cotts, 7522 Royal Timbers. My questions are about your new hire, Michael Hampton, who is being brought on for safety, zoning, and special projects. I have a few questions. First of all, what are the special projects? What is the true purpose of the role, and how is success defined? Who else was considered for the job? Where was the opportunity posted? When was this decided at a trustee meeting? Why is branding suddenly so important to the township? It's not an issue that citizens care about in the comprehensive plan. How is the $130,000 salary justified? Also, this is the only time we can address all trustees together, and a two-minute comment period is inadequate. And
is
not the norm.
Is not.
The two-minute period is inadequate,
okay.
And it is not the norm in any other township. I attend many, many township meetings. I've recently been to Perrysburg, Woodville, Spencer, and they're very different than this meeting. And they're also, the comment periods are longer. People can come back and comment again, and it's interactive with people. And I would encourage all of you to attend other township meetings to see how they're held. They're very different. And I'm under my 2 minutes.
Thank you. Brian.
Well, as long as you're covering me with that. I was wondering, I know that Eric is and his little squad there is going to be working on new zoning regulations and all that. And I was wondering, I've never heard anything about any deadlines or any notifications that we're going to get on what they're coming up with. Does he have a deadline to complete this work? Is it a secret? Oh, okay. And because, you know, we'd like to know, because we're just afraid that there might come some things that might appear to be more important than it is to us. So we would like to know what deadlines are so we can prepare and expect and be here to cheer him on when he gives us some really good news. That's all I got.
Thank you, Diane. I'd like to I think Diane and Marilyn kind of said the same thing, right? In that you want an update about data centers, and this board has instructed our zoning commissioner,
administrator
to do work during that 12-month moratorium. And as soon as something is completed, he will be bringing it to the board to talk about. So you can expect that when it says zoning administrator, it's the second meeting of the month. That's when Eric gives a report. If he learns something, if he needs to change our zoning resolution, he will do that. We also, at the last meeting, sent three things down, all of them somewhat related to data centers, the diesel,
the conditional uses, the update for noticing, and then also updating the JED for certain businesses. So four different things.
So they've been sent to the Planning Commission.
They have.
You have to watch the Planning Commission to see when that public meeting is. Then they'll come to our Zoning Commission. You will see that the Zoning Commission's having a meeting, and there'll be a public hearing there, and you can hear what they have to say about it. And then it'll come in front of us. So that's three public hearings for what already went down. If Eric finds we need to do more to our zoning resolution, we will.
But the deadline, that's up. We can't talk to it, but until it comes back from the Planning Commission. So that could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 months. Yeah.
I have held the position since I stood in front of Waterside in October of 2025 that I need to remain in a public setting, neutral on the data center issue. So if for some reason the data center came in front of me, I don't expect that it will, but you don't know that it will or won't. I am able to vote on it. If I make it, and other trustees may have other... Okay, should I stop speaking? Okay. And the final thing, Lynn, every suggestion you have, we've tried to implement in some way or another, so we absolutely will look into the 2 minutes, and we're doing the best we can, right, with the amount of people we had here. So some townships said it'll be 30 minutes, we can have a discussion or what have you. The law is being changed, I do believe, that we have to do public comment before any action is taken. So your public comment will be at the beginning of the meeting and might turn out to be very different than it is right now. So we're following what we understand to be the law, and we try to do it consistently every time. Related to our employee, I was going to get to that, and I know you want to speak, Chuck. We had our final personnel reviews. We're going to go into executive session one more time, so please stay. You can expect to hear some business, potentially raises, and about Mike Hampton when we come back from that executive session.
Well, yeah, and there's a number of things that we can't discuss during executive session, so, or with the public, because they're personnel issues. So, you know, personnel issues are protected under the Higher Vice Code. They're not public information, so that's why. But you know, as far as other updates, and I just learned this today, in full disclosure, I think there's a lot of misnomers. I think when everybody says data centers, they think of the hyper data centers that is being built down in Milton Township. You know, there's multiple different kinds of data centers, but that's what I think, that's the flashing lights. That, and I'm not necessarily in favor of hyper data centers. You know, there's other data centers that smaller underground storage unit, I mean, shipping container size, that, you know, have virtually no impact to residents. I mean, that's, so I'm not in favor of hyper data centers closer to residential areas. So you're asking. But as far as other news, and I just learned this today, and I did not share this with my other trustees, but the this 40-acre parcel.
Drawing on our map.
This 40-acre parcel right here is owned by Jim Moline Builders. James Moline Builders has built a number of homes in the township. Fine cause. He has it. It's under option currently to Monclova Properties, who is all the rest of the blue. But he submitted a development plan today to Lucas County for 5-acre lots. So I don't know when the option expires, but he submitted. Now there's a creek going through the middle of this today, right about there. But he submitted that development plan today to Lucas County. So
Moline,
M-O-L-I-N-E. He's a Williams Way right down the street. He's a high-end home builder. Coder Cove on Coder Road, he developed that. I mean, I don't know what the plan looks like. I don't know what the county will say, thumbs up, thumbs down. But he submitted that to the county today. But it's still under option to the other property owners. But maybe he knows. I haven't talked to him. I don't know what. Maybe he knows more than I do. Or he does more than I do because it's his property. So... So, like I said, I don't know what the plan looks like. There's a creek that runs through the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, the county may say thumbs down on a bridge across the creek. I don't know if there's wetlands back there. All I know is he owns that 40 acres.
Yeah.
I bought it about 3 or 4 years ago, if you look at areas.
So that takes us to our executive session. For
Debbie, Debbie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie. I'm so sorry.
Answer your question.
Yes.
I will still support the residents. I wouldn't want a hyperscale data center next to me. I'd open it next to you. That's just where I stand.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, now I can go
now
to the executive session. And I said in my comments previously, I believe we'll come out and have business. You You never know when you go into executive session if you will or you won't, but I do expect we'll accomplish personnel increases, so at the very least we would have that. So please feel free to stay if you want to. With that, I make a motion to move to executive session.
For the reason
of employment of a public employee. Thank you, okay. Gavin.
Second.
Now second by Locks. On the motion, Locks?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. We are returning from executive session at about 7:07, and we finished our personnel review and did some work on increases and employees in general. With that, I make a motion to leave executive session and return to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Lux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Today, I'm going to start, Chuck, and then I'll let you take over. Today, the Board of Trustees accepts notice of Harold Grimm's retirement as of 4/29/26. We will welcome Mike Hampton on May 1st as Director of Safety Services, Zoning, and Special Projects. That contract was accepted at a Board of Trustees meeting on 3/2/26. With that, I'll turn it over.
Okay.
I need a motion to accept.
Yeah.
I need a motion to accept. Sorry. Sorry, Kathleen.
Second.
No, you're fine.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Laux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Safer to make a motion anyway. I don't know if we needed it or not.
All right. I'll make a motion to increase the following salaries. Effective April 2nd, maintenance supervisor, cemetery sexton Doug Holland to a new rate of $37.32 per hour. Assistant fire chief Tom Yunker, a new rate of $44.57 per hour. Fire chief Matt Homick, a new rate of $48.45 per hour. And all of our part-time and pay-per-call firefighters across all classes, a increase of 3.5% as presented by in the schedule provided by Chief Holman.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Wang?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.